The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We have a very special guest today, media veteran and CNC3 deputy managing editor at Guardian Media Limited, Samson Nanton. You know this name, so it's not like if it's not familiar. He's one of the people at CNC3 who has a unique understanding of the network's history. His passion for CNC3 is clear, as he has held multiple roles, all of which have played an integral part. Nanton lauded CNC3 for becoming the only media house in the country with a full chroma key set. You'll have to tell me what a chroma key set is, right? We'll talk about that. They covered the Olympic Games, and many times their greatest pride came in the stories we were able to cover. Some of these included President Barack Obama's visit during the Summit of the Americas in April 2009, Queen Elizabeth II coming in November of that same year for the Commonwealth, the coverage of Prince Charles's and Camilla's visit, the King and Queen of Spain's visit, as well as the heads of government meeting. So that has been a broad spectrum of some of the things that Samson has covered over the years. So welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM.
Thank you very much.
You said like this is the first time that you've delved into the radio world, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, radio is part of the group. We have, six radio stations, and this is my first time on a radio station, so I'm happy to be here.
Probably it'll be a transition into Samson Nanton on Freedom 106.5 FM. Yep. Who knows?
Broadcast is broadcast.
Right, yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you've seen media over the years and how it has changed for you.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having us here to celebrate CNC3. And that's a good segue, because I was telling the Morning Brew, Jason Williams on the Morning Brew this morning, that CNC3 grew with social media. When we started in 2005, you had Facebook now coming in, YouTube. One of them was in 2004. I'm not sure which one, but YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, they were all coming in around that time. And we predated a few of them. So it's a good segue in terms of how the media has changed. Because as we grew as a television station, we also had to either merge with social media or even compete with social media. Because, you know, back then we competing with TV6, TTT, but now we competing with just about everybody who has a phone,
eh? Yes, yeah.
So,
and the roving investigative reporters.
That's how it is, yeah. They're there before us most times, because we can't be everywhere at the same time. So what we found that was valuable and remains valuable is that we maintain being the voice of accuracy, being the voice of truth, and most importantly, being the voice of balance, because someone with a phone doesn't really care about other people's views per se. You know, they may not necessarily want to hear the other side. They just see it for what they are, what it is, and they don't have the time to do it in any case. So they broadcast it as is. And we now have to say, okay, there's a balance to this. There may be another side of this story. So we maintain that and we hold on to that vigorously.
And also a kind of a removal of personal input as well to bring a balanced story to the fore.
Yeah.
As we go back a little bit, tell me what a chroma key set is. Because I want to understand that.
It's something in editing where you have, I mean, it's done quite a lot in film and movies and so on. You may see someone being shot against a green screen or a blue screen, and basically what you do is that you impose something on that background. So in movies you see a lot of what you call CGI and so forth. It's along the same lines. So when you look at CNC3's Morning Brew or 7 p.m. newscast and you think you're seeing that beautiful set in the back, it's all blue. When you come into the studio, a lot of people are surprised by that. They come into the studio. I'll give you a joke about that, as I remembered. We had one day we had Mr. Pandey on the set, and you know he was a very witty guy.
Yes.
And we were preparing him for the interview, and I was telling Mr. Pandey, I said, well, based on the chroma key set we have here, we can place you anywhere. If we want to put you in Maracas Bay right now, we can do that. We can put the background. And he was so witty, he responded can you put Mr. Manning out of the country for me?
Oh, no. So,
I mean, we had a big laugh, but that was who he was. And, you know, they had that nice rivalry going on at the time. So that's what a Kormiki set does. You can put you anywhere. So the backgrounds that we have are all digital backgrounds.
So let's get to favorite moments. You just described one. Favorite moments and stories of your time at CNC3. The ones that really stand out to you. Can you remember a few?
I've been asked that a thousand times, and there is one answer in terms of favorite. That's when Trinidad and Tobago qualified for the World Cup. I came in, and it was the same...
Yes, I remember.
Same year. You remember.
You were in the stadium, right?
2005, it was, I believe, the 16th of November. So this year will also be the 20th anniversary. And it's one of the first stories that CNC3 had done. Now, I had some experience. I'd come into CNC3 with 9 years behind me in terms of the media. So I had covered other stories. So, but automatically, this was clearly going to be my favorite story, simply because of the euphoria of love and unity and the coming together of people. I mean, you saw all the divisions of race, age, class, any standard of living, everybody was together. And I remember covering that and feeling a sense of unity that I knew was going to be hard to replicate. And being part of that coverage and being able to report on that gave me so much joy and so much happiness that I knew from that moment on it was going to be one of these stories I will remember for the rest of my life. In terms of other big stories, I would have done like the Haiti earthquake. I was in New York soon after 9/11 to cover the 9/11 disaster, the Hurricane Ivan destruction in Grenada. So, and of course, the Trogum with the President Obama, the Queen. So I had a lot of big other big coverage events. But in terms of the one that is standing out the most, I look forward again to the 20th anniversary of our qualification this year, because we do have some content that we never really brought back out since then, and we're going to show that to the public again.
So you have unrevealed footage so that we can go back in time and experience it all over again. That's something to look forward to.
Certainly.
Stories that have moved you the most. You know, we talked about the favorite ones that brought that euphoria feeling. What are the other ones that shook you to the core and moved you?
That too, it will be two of them, really. Haiti is one, for sure. Having gone into Haiti, I spent a total of 11 days on the ground just after the earthquake. And seeing what I saw, you know, it took me some time when I came back to Trinidad and we did the report. It took me some time to process everything because you're talking about not just seeing destruction, but the loss of life being as immense as over 250,000 people. I mean, just about everywhere you went, you would see dead bodies or you'd be smelling, you know, the smell of the stench of dead bodies. It was really traumatic for a few days. I witnessed something that I pray to God I never witness again. And that is where mass graves had to be created and tractors would just be picking up these bodies and putting them in trucks and then, you know, burying them. So that was one of the ones that touched me. But at home, stories about young children being killed. And we had quite a few.
Most recent
them.
One, the 12-year-old.
This is the most recent one. Back then, and out of respect to the families, I prefer not to call the names, but there were quite a few instances where young girls were murdered, a young boy who was murdered, and quite recently we had quite a few of teenagers as well being killed. And those things really touch you emotionally. You feel it. You're not detached as a journalist, where you're so desensitized that you can't feel feelings as well. And those stories really always touch us.
Yeah, and that's another thing. We are humans.
Yeah, that's right.
So to bring the story is one thing, and to feel that we are not touched by it is not true at all. And those pivotal moments are what make the landscape what it is.
Correct.
Some of the pivotal moments that you've seen in your 20 years with CNC3, the landscape of the country changing. Can you name some of them?
Yeah. Part of... We have covered so much in terms of the politics of the country, the economics of the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean no disrespect to the current group of politicians, but many people will tell us that the old school politicians had a flair about them, had a mm-hmm. flavor about them. And, you know, they can go behind the parliament's, the speaker's desk and laugh and talk to each other and so forth. And we saw that sort of go away over time. And the country started to become a little too bitter, mm-hmm. for want of a better term. We became a little too aggressive in terms of our politics. And what it did, and what we have noticed, is that it has taken away that sort of feeling that everything we do is in the public's interest.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been watching how that has transitioned over time. In terms of the economy, of course, we've seen where the large amount of oil and gas that we would have exported, mainly to the United States, how that diminished when the U.S. became a net exporter mm-hmm. of energy,
mm-hmm.
and what that did to our economy in terms of the funding and so forth. So these are pivotal moments that we've had to, you know, maneuver, not just as journalists, but in terms of the very standard of living in the country, seeing
mm-hmm.
it
mm-hmm.
change over time. We would have had to go out and talk to people on the ground and people who have been, you know, suffering before and how it impacted them even more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a lot of people who over time would have, you know, just felt the hit from a combination of the economic problems and also the feeling that, hey, where's the sense of love and unity that we used to have as a country?
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the crime situation that just deteriorated over time. So we saw a damper that mm-hmm. sort of came over the country over a period of time. And certainly something that I'm pretty sure all of Trinidad and Tobago would love to see a reversal of,
lifted,
of that.
Yeah. And in terms of the economic positioning of Trinidad and Tobago, in which we deliver news, have you seen any noticeable changes in that?
Not really. And to be very honest, we ought to not focus too heavily on the figures if we are not tying it to how it affects the person on the ground,
mm-hmm.
right? So in terms of reporting, it's easy to come forward and, you know, lay out the stats. But honestly, we want to make sure that we represent the people. And if, in fact, we are going to say that gas has increased, for instance, you need to tell the public, in terms of your reporting, the trickle-down effect that it's going to cause delivery trucks to, you know, a higher cost there. So maybe mm-hmm. the price will go up. It will be passed on to the consumer, if not totally, partially. How is this going to affect your taxi driver's
fare? Yeah.
Even your own fares in terms of your driving and so forth. And when you start to break that down and you realize, look, hey, I am paying more in groceries because the delivery trucks just went up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying more for taxi or paying more for gas. The net effect of that one increase has hit me so badly because I didn't get an increase on the other end,
mm-hmm.
right? That is the story that we try to tell, to say that, look, it's one thing to say it went up, but it hit you in this way. And it didn't just hit you in one level. The domino effect is going to be this bad. So we've seen the changes, but the reporting did not change or ought not to have changed because it still has to be about people.
All right, we're going to take a break. TNT, any questions that you have for Mr. Nanton, you can send it to 306-1065. And we'll take some calls as well because we want to hear from you your favorite memory of CNC3 as well, you know, with Samson on the picture and all of the others who bring the news to us every single day. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Trinidad and Tobago, in studio of Freedom 106.5 FM as we celebrate CNC3's anniversary, 20 years of operation. We have Samson Nanton, who is the deputy managing editor at CNC3, here to talk to us about his journey. And, you know, the overall evolution of CNC3 over the 20 years. So just before the break, we talked about pivotal moments within the landscape of the country and how that was reported. I wanted to ask you, since my show is the name of Human Impact, and we talk about stories that really get to us in terms of humanity, I wanted to get from you your human impact story, the one that touched you the most.
There's so many. I mean, so many that I can't pinpoint one or two. But there's one that I recall. I have a mantra that no story is too small for me to cover. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I would like to share with journalists. Not because you grow in the industry and you become a name that you can, or you feel that you should move away from stories that are minor. And I'm saying that only to say this, that there was a story that came to me that seemed small, very small. It was of an elderly man who was living in it wasn't HDC at the time, it was NHA, mm-hmm. National Housing Authority compound. And it was named after, it was in the name of his daughter. Mm-hmm. And his daughter passed. And he had been living there for 25 years. And according to the rules, because it was not on his name, he had to be evicted. Mm. And obviously to me and to any right-thinking citizen, someone who's living in a place for 25 years, an elderly man at that, ought not to be put out of his place. Mm-hmm. So I went up there, I spoke to him, I did a story on it, I spoke to the authorities and so forth. And they quite frankly agreed. And mm-hmm. within a day or two, they came and they sort of formalized everything with him, and he was able. But why I remember that a lot is because he broke down and cried and thanked me mm-hmm. sincerely. Because had the media, and this is the value of the media, had he not been highlighted, mm-hmm. this man may have been out on the street, and it would have been quite unfairly so. Mm-hmm. We've done other stories. I remember stories where people who you're living at the top floor of an HDC apartment and you suffer, you know, a broken leg or something, and you just can't get up at that point, no elevators and so forth. So those are the stories we like to highlight, because it brings about a real change. Mm-hmm. For and that's why I started off by saying no story is too small enough for us to cover, because I'm not... The touching stories may not be the big ones. It may be the quiet ones that you didn't really hear too much about. Mm-hmm. I know there was another story. I had to go down to San Fernando or Princeton, actually, for this one, where someone had been under a medical condition that was unfairly done to them simply because of a mistake that someone had made. And this person was, you know, in a position where they could have died. Mm. And no number of letters that they were sending to the authorities was being favorably responded to. These are the stories we highlight. And when we do so, I recall that they moved in to assist. Sadly, it was too late, and she eventually passed. So it pulls at your heartstrings, but it makes you realize that this is part of the value of what you do every day. Mm-hmm. And if I can go out there every day and just change somebody's life the way I helped with the guy with the NHA home, mm-hmm. I would have fulfilled my mission as a journalist.
Well, that was the next question for me. How do you do this every single day? What moves you? What's your passion? You know, to come to work with various personalities. We just put it that way. You know, what moves you?
Yeah, I have stayed motivated for a long time, and I will tell you what the secret is for me. I don't work for Guardian Media, CNC3, or the company per se. And mm-hmm. Let me qualify why I'm saying that. If I were to come to work saying this is my job and I work for this company, then I would be moving with the ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. If I feel today the company didn't treat me well, my output would be poor. Mm-hmm. If I feel tomorrow they treat me well, my output would be good. I believe that this is a profession that I started in a long time, and I believe that the better work that I do, makes me an ultimate professional. I want my work to be good. I want my work to be spoken of. What that means is that the company now benefits from someone who brings his A-game every single day, right? So I am not interested in what is taking place on the periphery because of my view that I must be professional and I must keep my standard high. Then it means that the company gets the very, very, very best out of me, as opposed to me saying, well, this just pays my salary. I come here and I just do what I do. So that's what really brings me to this point, being sounding so upbeat and so forth. It's because I renew myself every day saying, look, what can I do today to be top of my game? What will bring my A game out? So, you know, if journalists can adapt those things, they'll realize that those are the ones who not only make a name for themselves, but the companies grow with that name. And the fact that I'm here 20 years with Guardian Media means that while I have been bringing my A-game, I also feel that, you know, I love the growth I've seen with the company and CNC3. So it's a win-win for everyone.
So besides pursuing the stories with integrity, you give the advice to young journalists to really be, you know, regardless of what's happening, be on top of your A game. Yeah. And the only thing that changes about you is your chubby face. So you've inspired a lot of people to, you know, bring human stories and to follow the truth of the story. The latest story that has captured us recently, and as we were looking at the screen here, and CNC3 is in our studio as well, the story between U.S. and Venezuela conflict and Trinidad and Tobago, and understanding that the Prime Minister is at the United Nations. What kind of tone do you expect from that address, and, you know, what should we expect on that platform?
I don't know what we can expect. Maybe I'm being wrong with that. I don't like to put forward a view before it happens, but I do feel that it will be a continuance of what we have been seeing. My reporting on Venezuela go way back when there was a CARICOM meeting in Tobago, and the then president, Hugo Chavez, came to that meeting. It was quite all the fanfare and the excitement of it, you know. Decoy vehicle came up, all the journalists, we ran to get him coming out, and he wasn't coming out of that. He came out the next one. And at that time, there was a coup in Venezuela just a few weeks ago. And I asked the president, Hugo Chavez, at the time, as I mentioned, I asked him through an interpreter, how do you feel about this attempt to overthrow you? And his response was, I remember it very clearly, that when I'm riding on my horse, when you're riding on your horses, no one cares about how the dogs are barking on the ground. Why I brought that to the fore is because Venezuela did not change or has not been a place of conflict 2 weeks ago or a month ago. It has been this way for quite a long time. And with Hugo Chavez having passed, and now Maduro in place. In fact, I remember during that coup, Mr. Manning being the prime minister, there was a front page that we had at the time where he said, whoever answers the phone, that's the person we speak to. We don't get involved in Venezuela's business. And it was clear. What we have seen now is through the former government, through the attempts to get the gas deals going, we've had a closer than normal relationship with Venezuela. And it had been rebuffed a lot by this present government, who was in opposition at the time, simply because they felt that, you know, they sided with the view of the United States. So now that the UNC is in government, we are just seeing that the position that they held for a long time. It's not a new position by them. They are just carrying. Whether Trinidad and Tobago should get involved, that depends on the policy, the foreign policy of each government. But I do know for a fact that we were taking a position before that we leave Venezuela to handle their affairs and we deal with them diplomatically, depending on who is sitting in the seat.
So basically, we were going to be hearing the same, I don't want to use the word rhetoric, but the same stance by the Prime Minister. Now, as it relates to CARICOM, and how we've been maneuvering so far. We are an area of peace. In terms of our economic standing and growth, you have any perspectives on that? Or you say you don't want to say anything before it happens. From that perspective, in the terms of how people are going to navigate through this, do you see any major changes happening?
When you say through this, are we talking economically?
Economically, yes.
Okay. Journalists ought not to have opinions, but I mean, we do see things and we perceive things based on what we report in the past and what is happening now. There was a point where Trinidad was the economic powerhouse in the Caribbean because of the amount of oil and gas we were exporting, and we know that has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, we took a political, we had a political strength back then. During Mr. Manning's term, you had Oinata in Barbados, you had PJ Patterson in Jamaica. You had a strong period of time with CARICOM. And there has been a changing of the guards, but not just from the political perspective, but the economic perspective as well.
Mm-hmm.
We see Guyana now becoming that economic, growing into that economic powerhouse, and Trinidad less so. Whether or not we are still leading CARICOM, I think the voice that people listen to the most is Barbados,
mm-hmm.
Mia Motley.
I think Dr. Ali as well.
And Guyana. Guyana and Barbados are the voices that are at the forefront. And it's yet to see where the economic power will reside. Trinidad and Tobago, certainly because of our years of growth and where we are from the oil and gas for these number of years, we still retain a strength, a mm-hmm. power, you know, a sort of strength in the CARICOM region. But how we maneuver that going forward is important.
And in terms of our interpersonal relationships with the other islands, if the cricket is anything to by, we may have some work to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, we still have the CARICOM free market and economy and the free movement of skilled workers and so forth. So that in itself has caused us to be intermingled. Our very own managing editor is from Barbados, and she just came from Jamaica having worked at the Gleaner.
Mm-hmm.
So right in our own building here, we have quite a mixture of regional people. I worked with quite a few people as well who would have been from Guyana, mm-hmm. or St. Lucia, and different people who worked right here at CNC3 too. So we have that for us. We go to other regions, other countries in the region, and you know, you tend to feel like you're at home,
mm-hmm,
regardless
mm-hmm.
where you go. I was in Guyana earlier this year, and I felt no animosity. I guess I hadn't been there for the cricket. I feel around that time might be different.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have that unity and love among each other.
And let's hope that we keep it too, because if, God forbid, if anything does transpire between the United States and Venezuela, we would need that, you know, brotherhood to continue. So let's go a little bit into your visions for CNC3 for the next 20 years. What do you, you know, see happening, and where, what is your place? Where would be your place?
I think one of the things we must never be afraid of is embracing the new technology,
mm-hmm.
and what is taking place. The world is not going to wait on us. And I recall, before I go forward, let me go back, because I recall when the internet became a big thing and so forth. I was at the time working at another media house, and while everyone was putting their news on websites, this media mm-hmm. house position was, we are not doing that, because we will not sell papers if we just give our news away. That was a view that they had to change, mm-hmm. because the world did not wait on them. The world was going, maneuvering from picking up a newspaper every day to online.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were not in that space, you were left behind. So we understood a long time ago that we could not ignore the space, although the space was eating away at our viewership and so forth. When someone is spending more time on YouTube or on social media than they would spend watching television, it means that our viewership would obviously decline. But we had to now say, hey, let's take our news and put it where they are. Mm-hmm. Let's meet them where they are. And that's why the mantra of CNC3 is we are where you are. We have to meet you in your space. Mm-hmm. And if we ignore that going forward, then it would be to our own detriment. We do have a very strong social media standing. On Facebook, I believe it's the last I checked was 877,000. On Instagram, 300 and something thousand. Twitter, it's also big. So while these are what they call ego statistics, you have all these mm-hmm. followers, it still means that we can meet the people there, right? Mm-hmm. If something breaks now.
I look at it as a testament to the hard work that has been put out there. And you gather the numbers that way.
And it's also a testament that people feel that they believe in us, they mm-hmm. trust in us. If something breaks now, we don't have to... I mean, waiting on 7 o'clock newscast to put that out is too late, mm-hmm. or the newspaper next morning. You have to get it to the population right away. But we want to make sure that they get it accurately. We want to make sure they get it with all the correct elements of journalism put in there. And we want to make sure that it's, you know, we are the people that you come for truth, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Too many times we feel that things are happening. You may be there first to the scene, you may show the video, but then people want to know more. Why did this happen? Mm-hmm. What is the next stage of this? What is going to be, how does it impact me? And the regular social media person who posts that for views isn't giving you that.
Yeah.
So we need to maintain our journalism, but enter that space and move with it. As AI comes on, we have to move with AI. We have to find every possible
as
way.
Much as we, you know, resist it.
No,
as much as we resist it,
the world
it is
waiting
part.
On us.
Yeah. So finally, Samson, passion projects for mm-hmm. Samson Nandan alone. Do you have any passion projects that you do on the side? That you want to tell us about?
On the side, no. I was at the forefront of the CNC3's social media drive many years ago when it was just 46,000 and now we're at 877,000. So if there's any other passion outside of reporting the news, it's making sure we keep driving our digital platforms forward, building them, growing them. I've learned quite a lot in terms of the years of how you attract the market and what sort of stories people are going to latch on to. AI is going to be my... If I do find time for myself and I really sit down, it would be, looking at the AI and how we can utilize that. Not just for CNC3, but in your own personal life, you know. There are mm-hmm. a lot of things that AI can help you with. We're afraid of it for some reason. But if you use it responsibly, you can find that it can make your life a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And as I said, let's not be that media house that says... We are not doing this because X, Y, Z. Because by the time you try to catch up later on, you realize you're far, far behind.
In the game, yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Nandan, thank you so much for joining me today. And congratulations on 20 years. Congratulations to CNC3, the managers, all the camera crew, everybody. Congratulations on the 20 years, yeah?
Thank you very much.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.